Devil, Details, Fine Print, our series on life in the fine print. It's a characteristic of the 21st century, getting more vigilant about the little things in the fine print in all aspects of what we do in America. What is the fine print all about?
The idea of the fine print is not to help the customer. The idea of the fine print is to be able to hide things that will fool people.
Well, that was the assessment yesterday from Elizabeth Warren, the chair of the congressional panel that oversees TARP money, the bank bailout. She told us we should all be vigilant about fine print because it is there deliberately to fool us. And we've already gotten some responses from listeners like you.
It's simple. There have to be laws in place to protect the consumer. There have to be strong laws. If not, these banks and mortgage companies and credit card companies are going to do what they plan to do, which is to prey on the weak, prey on the poor. There have to be laws that prevent that. And criminal prosecutions, too, not just civil penalties that are paid by the corporation. Put these people in jail.
It's a morality play, good and evil being played out in the fine print of your bank statement. Here to talk about it is Louise Story, Wall Street and finance writer for the New York Times. Good morning, Louise.
Morning.
And Glinda Bridgeforth is president and CEO of Bridgeforth Financial and Associates. She's also the author of the Girl Financial series of books, including Girl, Get Your Credit Straight. She joins us from Detroit. Good morning, Glinda.
Good morning.
So let's talk about this, Louise. First of all, there's a bit of everything in your fees, in your bank statement, is actually legal, right? In almost every case.
They do disclose a lot of things in fine print in your statement.
And so the fact that they disclose it sort of makes it legal in some sense. So the whole business model behind bank fees seems to me a part of a psychological game. That if they know, if they bet we won't pay attention, they're able to get the money out of us, even if they're not actually charging us for something that costs them money. I mean, an ATM fee. How much does that actually cost a bank to process an ATM transaction?
So it's interesting. ATM has become a growing boondoggle for these banks. They're charging $2, $3 if a stranger uses their ATM. And then, this is one I didn't know about till I started digging into this research. Also, many banks charge their own customers an additional fee. So if I go use, you know, J.P. Morgan's ATM, for instance, and I'm not a J.P. Morgan customer, J.P. Morgan charges me and my own bank charges me for going elsewhere.
And they do it just because they can. I mean, Glinda Bridgeforth, I was thinking this morning, okay, how many ATM transactions I do in the course of a year, multiplied by $1.50, $2, in some cases $3, I got scared and I didn't want to do the calculation. That's what consumers are faced with, right?
Absolutely. It's a situation where, you know, these small amounts of money certainly do add up, and you're a lot like most people. We get frightened by the number, and then we don't do it. We don't look at it. We try not to think about it. I really do feel that there is a personal responsibility that we have to identify the various areas where we're being charged. And if people would just manage their checkbooks better, if people would just use a check register and write down money as it goes in and money as it comes out, then I think that they'll be in a much better position and they'll be able to see what's going on in terms of the fee. And very often, as they see these fees adding up, then they'll automatically stop.
Now, banks don't treat customers, Louise Story, like they meant necessarily treat businesses. I mean, if I was a small business and I went to my bank and said, look at all these fees, come on, can't we do something different? They'd be more likely or less likely to negotiate with me as a business than me as just a regular old consumer.
Most consumers offer very little individual value to the banks. You know, often people only have $400 in their checking account, for instance, at any given moment. So that's not a high ticket thing for the banks. They're not that likely to negotiate. What's going on right now that's interesting is that it's really going to be regulation and new laws that are going to push banks on what fees they can charge. And this is good and bad because there can be unintended consequences. So you've probably heard about the Fed last month banned overdraft fees on ATM and debit card purchases that went over your limit. However, they didn't ban them on checking overdrafts. And so a lot of people out there might have heard that they banned overdraft fees and might not be worried about their checking account, but it was not banned there. There's legislation pending there. The other thing that we might see is as the banks are prohibited from certain types of fees by the Fed or by Congress, they will look for other places. That's part of the reason that bank analysts think these ATM fees are going up, because the banks can't make money in one corner.
So they look elsewhere. It's whack-a-mole.
That's right.
Interesting. Glenda Bridgeforth, what is a low-income person to do to fight back against fees when almost anything they do at a bank is going to cost them a fee?
Well, one thing that they can do is they can look at debit cards. For instance, there is the debit card, like the prepaid reloadable debit card. That way, what you have is a debit card that you can use just like a Visa card, and you can use it anywhere, and it can be purchased at, say, Walmart. There's a very fine card called Green Dot that you can purchase at CVS, at Rite Aid, and so forth, many other locations. But purchasing this card is a good way to make sure that you stay within the amount of money that you have, because it won't let you take out more money than you've put in.
Are there fees associated with these kind of cards?
Well, often prepaid cards have had a whole roster of fees that are hidden, and this has been another big concern among consumer advocates. But the whack-a-mole analogy is very key. Another place that I think we're going to see rising fees that everyone should watch out for is on their checking accounts. Checking accounts have been free for a while, but we're already seeing banks changing the fine print there.
Mm. Lastly, is their credit unions exempt from this? People often feel that their credit unions are beneficent institutions.
So surveys have shown, there's a survey by Moeb Services, for instance, and it's shown that the larger banks tend to charge higher fees, and the credit unions do tend, on average, for each of these things to charge lower
fees. Interesting. Louise Story, Wall Street and finance writer for the New York Times, our partner in the New York Times. Glenda Bridgeforth, is personal responsibility an antidote to the fine print sort of fees that are yanking our chains and our wallets quickly?
I feel that it is, and I think that we need to schedule a mind your own business day. And this is a day where we sit down, we pay our bills, we read the fine print, we read the inserts that are included in our bills. And if we do that, then I think that we're able to make some informed decisions in terms of what we might need to do to change and avoid fees.
Man, there's a takeaway. Glenda Bridgeforth, president and CEO of Bridgeforth Financial and Associates. Mind your own business day. Thanks so for that. Our Living in the Fine Print series continues. You can get any interview that we've done in the series on our website, thetakeaway.org. You can podcast it. I'm John Huckenberry.
And I'm Celeste Headlee. This is The Takeaway.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.